You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right, like the dude just said. So, yeah, we're going right now to the phones. We got our friend Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in the Mobile Baldwin County area. He's also the political editor for 1819 News and an editor for Breitbart and a political guy extraordinaire. Hey, Jeff Rowe, how you doing, man?
Doing well. Good afternoon to you, Senator.
Good day. Good day. Hey, man, so I just finished doing a whole segment on the, I'm calling it the January 6th political theater. But your thoughts, are they going to refer charges? Is there going to anything ever come of this, or is it just an opportunity to try to smear?
I think maybe their most optimistic of optimism would have been to get some kind of charges. But I tell you what, if you haven't been watching lately, you notice how it has transitioned from a coup, conspiracy, a threat to our democracy to... Donald Trump was running some kind of fundraising grift off of this. And like just in the last 24 hours, like don't forget about what we said for the last 2.5 years or whatever it's been, a year and a half. Now focus on the fundraising. That's what we're really looking at right now. We're going to get him for that now. We found something to get him on. And I think people are not going to, are going to buy it.
I agree. And I, by the way, one of the most egregious things that I've seen is, so they had a witness, Bill Stepien, who was supposed to testify yesterday from the Trump campaign, but they pointed out that he is actually currently the campaign manager for Liz Cheney's opponent in the Wyoming congressional race, and that immediately after a poll showed that his client was whooping Liz Cheney in the polls, all of a sudden, he got a subpoena that he had to testify in D.C. So I just look at this and go, good gosh.
Well, it certainly doesn't help the credibility of the committee. They've given up on credibility questions, yeah. And they're just it helps when you have the media, though, right? And the media is going to put this nonsense whenever they want to air it. And we are going to watch them pretend like they think this is legitimate, and they're going to find out. It's just not.
Yeah, totally agree. Well, political theater continues. I mean, they're not through meeting. In fact, Adam Schiff says that they may still refer charges. They may. He hopes that the AG will investigate after they complete their investigation. I'm thinking, so you're already doing public presentations, but you still got more investigation going on? This is just ridiculous. But
well, don't you think if the AG, if they had something, the AG would have moved?
Yes.
Because the Department of Justice, even with all its bureaucratic inefficiency, is still way more efficient than the House Select Committee on the January 6th Disturbance of the Force, or whatever they're calling it. And, you know, it's like we're too they think we're stupid or something. Like, we don't know that this is theater. Well, when, tell me something, Senator. When is a select or special or any of Benghazi or whatever it may be resulted in anything of substance in recent memory?
Nada. I mean, the only thing you can think of looking back right now is the impeachment of Bill Clinton for lying to Congress, and you can think of Richard Nixon resigning rather than face trial. And then, you know, Donald Trump was impeached, and even that was a sham, though. I just look at it. It's anyway. More to come, my brother. We'll just keep tabs on this one and see how far down the road of egregious activity they want to go.
Yeah, I think it's maybe Iran-Contra got a few scouts.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't think this quite, because there's no illegality here, right? And I was telling my audience this, Senator, if we start indicting presidents for trumped up charges, and former presidents are their family members, We are going to devolve into some kind of banana republic. Look, people look at the United States as a safe haven, a good place to put your money, a good place to invest, a good place to manufacture, because we are a stable democracy. And if we start playing these games, we're going to criminalize political activity, no matter how egregious but shamelessly political it is. That's where this will head, and it's going to hurt the stability of the country.
Perfectly said. And by the way, has there ever been a time when the phrase trumped up charges was more aptly used?
Yeah. And it's
a pun, but
no pun intended. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen, let me shift over. Speaking of Trump. So the thing that broke this weekend, which I, by the way, I think the first time I saw it was you grabbed it first and put it out on Twitter, that Trump was, you know, being courted again by Mo Brooks. Mo said on my show yesterday that he had actually been, the overtures came from the Trump campaign. Would you take a re-endorsement? He said, I'll take it, and I'll even ask for it in public. He did, and next thing you know, the Trump endorsement flips to Katie Britt, shocked everybody on Friday night, I think, which is kind of a weird time, Friday night, kind of after hours. What does this do? Does it do anything? Does it move the needle? Does it hurt Trump's brand in Alabama? What's your thought?
It probably hurts Trump's brand in Alabama, I think, more than it does anything to the Senate race. What it meant with the Senate race, I think, it's not like Katie Britt is running on the Trump endorsement. In fact, has anybody seen Katie Britt talk about this anywhere?
No, my point, except for her statement of acceptance.
Yeah,
I haven't seen anything.
They sent out more press releases for a for an endorsement from the Realtors Association that they have for the Trump endorsement. But I think they what they wanted, and they got what they wanted, was Mo Brooks not to have it and not give him any momentum heading into Tuesday.
No, I think you're totally right. You know, and I look at it, too, and I'm looking at this thinking, yesterday my show, the phone lines lit up, and it was call after call after call. One guy even said he was taking the Trump stickers off of his car. And I look at it and think, we're living in the 4th Congressional District, is a big part of my listening area. It has the highest per capita vote count for Trump in both 2016 and 2020 in the entire United States of all congressional districts. And I can't help but think that this kind of fickleness in the midst of a campaign, it just hurts his brand. I mean, he supported Dr. Oz, but that was his initial out-the-gate endorsement, you know, well in advance. Okay, that's his guy. I mean, I don't agree with him, but it's his guy. But the idea of dropping Brooks, waiting for a while, and then in the runoff, endorsing his opponent in the same race just seems beyond fickle to me. It just seems yuck.
It is weird, and I still think Katie Britt probably would have pulled it off had even if Trump had endorsed Mo Brooks. It would have made her have to work for it a little more, maybe. That's something we would have liked to have seen. But, it's hurt his brand, but we're probably a cycle or two away from Trump not being a factor anymore where it's no longer. We have spent way too much time in this election cycle trying to read what Donald Trump was going to do. And in the last two and a half election cycles, all the way to 2017, we have spent way too much time. I think it is now kind of getting to the point where, yeah, if I get it, that's great, but people are not going. And then at some point, it's just not going to matter. It'd be like getting a George W. Bush endorsement, right? Yeah, you know, that's great, but it's not going to carry the news.
No, it's not going to carry the day. Well, we'll see. I mean, I don't know if it's going to give her a bump. I don't know if it's going to burn people towards her. If there's any undecideds, they're going to look at it and go, oh, geez. All right, I'm voting for Mo. That just sucked. But I don't know. We'll wait and see come next Tuesday. But, you know, last poll we saw showed that Katie Britt had a sizable lead. Question I have for you on that sizable lead. There's always been concerns. I mean, Brooks even raised it himself without any evidence that I know of, but he raised it that there was, you know, Democrat crossover. And then we had the Democrat Party guy saying Democrats love Katie Britt because she was so helpful with Doug Jones. But you just also, speaking of which, you just also put out on Twitter just in the last half hour or so, a statement from Senator Tom Watley's campaign about their challenge, which I think is based on crossover voting. What's up with Watley's campaign in that Senate district down there?
So apparently, according to the statement, they didn't think that they would prevail at a ballot precinct recount challenge. So they, and it's hard to read these lawyered up statements, but it sounds like they're just not going to, they're going to leave it in the hands of the Alabama Republican Party. And I, you know, based on crossover votes, I guess is the legal strategy there. But wouldn't you feel better if they were able to find a vote or two somewhere?
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're, he's down by one vote. To remind the audience, a state senator with a multi-county race who's an incumbent of 12 years, lost his race by one vote after all provisionals, military ballots, everything was counted, one vote. So that being said, I would think a recount would have been more likely to have found the one vote, but I don't see the committee overturning a one-vote loss unless they can show that his opponent, Jay Hovey, actually has an organized campaign to solicit votes from Democrats. And have you heard it? Did they have any proof like that at all?
Well, maybe his who was it? The Joe Lovard, Joe Lovard's wife, Jennifer Lovard, I guess, essentially was running the Hovey campaign. And there's like some social media post or something that maybe could possibly tie her to encouraging Democrats to come over and vote for Whatley's opponent. So, will that be admissible? Will that? I just think it seems like a stretch to me, but I could be wrong.
You know what's deep irony here is Whatley was a Democrat.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've known him for a while. I mean, and he and I have a decent relationship. It's not like I'm picking on him when I say this, but he literally was a Democrat working for Chief Justice Sue Bell Cobb, a Democrat, and switched parties to run to be a Republican state senator, and he won. So I
mean, Ted Little in that 2010 storming the state house election cycle, if
right.
You recall. Yeah.
Thank you very much. My name's in that book. All right, man. Well, listen, more to come on this, but as always, thank you for your political commentary, and thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Senator.
All right, man. All right, that's Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 down in the coastal regions of our state. Political editor for 1819 News, also works for Breitbart, usually has some good insight. Coming right back on Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.